Well, good morning.
I was born at a very young age in Minneapolis. Oh, I only got 20 minutes. Okay. I pastored a Bible church in Wisconsin for just under 40 years, and then began what now is a 45-year mission to a nomadic tribe that spans the border of Kenya and Ethiopia. And you all have become partners in this ministry. And friends, business is booming. The Lord has done a phenomenal work in the past two decades, and it's been my privilege to be a part of it. In this moment, this morning, I'd like to recapture some missionary fundamentals before I go on. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says that we have the mind of Christ. Well, that's quite a thought, isn't it? We have the mind of Christ. He's comparing it with unbelievers. But we have the mind of Christ. We have the understanding and the thinking of Christ. We have that capacity. That's quite a privilege. So believers are capable of understanding the things that are on the mind of Christ, like biblical truth. And did you know that we live in a generation that has more divine information than any other so far? We know more. So what's on the mind of Christ? Well, before I get too far into that, I want to go left of Genesis for just a minute. We can deduce that our triune God exists in a timeless realm that had no beginning and will have no end. He just is. Remember when he talked to Moses, he just said, I am. I just am. It's a different world. So somewhere in eternity past, and I'm not even sure that's a right term, it was decided to create time and the earthly realm, and they would create eternal creatures, and some of them would be empowered to actually bear the likeness of God, in a limited sense, of course, to act and think like Jesus. That's what he wants from us. That's what having the mind of Christ means, to know God, to love God. Paul said that I might know him. You want to know what to do in life? That's it. That I might know him. And the Lord would say, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and strength. A couple of good goals, huh? Secondly, that we are to grow up in our knowledge of him and all that he is doing in time, to allow him to transform us into what Ephesians says is the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Wow. The stature that belongs to the fullness of Christ in us. Paul would say, I haven't quite got there, but I'm pressing on. And that's what I'm encouraging you all to do today, to press on to the stature of the fullness of Christ. What a deal. To do this, to accomplish this, there's a plan that was made in eternity past. The plan was very simple, or at least I'm going to simplify it for you today. God the Father enlightens and draws certain men and women and gives them faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. John 6:44 says, no one can come to me, Jesus speaking, unless the Father draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. What a promise. So the Father draws us. He then gives us to Jesus. And then John 10:28 says, Jesus gives us eternal life, a new life for old. Do you remember it? Trading in the old life for new. I do. Then the Holy Spirit enters that person and begins the process of transformation and transforms us from the dominion of Satan to the dominion of God. Then we will live out our earthly lives, and at a perfect time, we are taken to glory. Glory upon glory, it's called. I've never recovered from the wonder of it all, that I will share in the glory of God. And actually, I am right now. I just don't quite get it yet. For now, we might ask the Lord, is there anything other than growing up that you want me to be a part of? Is there anything? And number five, I had a list. He said, yeah, actually there is. I want you to be my witness. Be my ambassadors in the time that I have given you. You have a certain amount of time, as I do. And he wants you to be an ambassador of his during that time. You see, God has chosen his people to present the message of salvation that he will build on. It's like the old story that when the Lord got to heaven, Gabriel said, now that you have done your sacrifice and everything's complete, what's your plan for the rest of time? And Jesus says, well, I'm going to have all these humans share their faith, and the gospel will spread through them. And Gabriel said, is that plan A? And he said, yeah. He says, what's plan B? And he says, there is no plan B. That's it. And it's a responsibility and a privilege of ours to be ambassadors in our time. Romans 10:14 asks the question, how will they believe without a preacher? Well, they won't. So we're the preachers. But back to that question, what's on the mind of Christ? Well, this we know for sure is on his mind, because the Bible tells us. Actually, the Bible is a missionary document. Did you know that? Test me on this, cover to cover. It's a missionary document. The New Testament begins with four gospels. Luke says, proclaim him to all the nations. Mark says, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. John says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you, King James. And then Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me, he says. That's quite a statement. All authority is in the hands of Jesus. And he says, therefore, now because of that, because I have all authority, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and make disciples. Disciples are student followers of his. And teach them all that I've commanded you. And then lastly, I am with you always to the end of age. Then Acts 1, Michael read it to us, on his way out or his way up, when the Holy Spirit comes, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even, there it is, to the ends of the earth. Those were the last words of the incarnation. To the ends of the earth. Well, I think those are important words. So here we are 2,000 years later, with out of this world technology. Certainly by now, everyone has heard about Jesus. I mean, we got men on the moon, or we did. Certainly everyone has heard the gospel. By the way, the gospel means the good news. Do you know what the good news is? Can you verbalize it? About Jesus, about his breathless offer of salvation. Well, the truth is many have not heard. Also, many have heard and believed, but they are unknowledgeable disciples. So we can be used of God to transform their cultural setting, as that's what God wants them to do, their tribe, their people. So there are two deficits. Some have never heard, and some have never been taught. That's what's going on in our world, and it's rampant. The important thing, I believe, in our mission to Ethiopia and Kenya is to establish a complete theological branch of the kingdom of God. I know that's a lot, but that's what we're doing. We're not just sharing Christ. It goes beyond that. 45 years ago, a missionary from Ethiopia made this statement to me. No one should hear the gospel twice until everyone has heard it once. And that changed my life. I believe that that is still on the mind of Christ. What? That no one should hear the gospel twice till everyone's heard it once. So go into all the lost world, find my people, and teach them all about me. Get on the team. There's a salvation team, and it's global, and he wants us to be on the team. If we have the mind of Christ, we have a vested interest in making disciples at the ends of the earth, to go where Christ is not known. And not only share the good news of Christ, but permanently establish disciple-making bodies of believers who can carry the torch in their land for the rest of the age. Friends, that's the mission. Join the team. The kingdom-building team. And you have. Our ministry is in the red zone. One of the red zones of Africa. You know, there aren't any easy missions left. I wanted to do missions work on the beaches of Hawaii. Beach evangelism. But then I just wasn't led that way. Next time. We're in the red zone. The easy missions have been done. In those 45 years, the Lord has established about 47 church fellowships in our ministry area. And they're at different stages of development. Probably several thousand villagers have been saved by now and are hopefully growing up. So I will, in the time that he gave me, show you a little bit about the country and about what I'm doing, and just a brief message from an old friend of mine. So here we go. That's, of course, a picture of Africa. We're working up in what they call the Horn of Africa. It's up in the right-hand corner there. Look at that. Somalia here, that's not a friendly tribal area. We border it in both countries. Our ministry area tends to be right in this zone here. And even though those are governmental divisions, it's actually divided by tribes. So we are right up against Somalia tribes in four of our villages, and they're the ones that are really getting the heat lately. That's the mode of travel by our people. And it's very efficient. That's how they travel. when they're traveling. So now their culture is in transition. So they're going from strictly nomadic to settling into villages where the government has built schools, which is a good thing, because then they can learn to read and write, and then they can get the Bible, which is complete in their culture. There's one of the villages that they've started to settle in. They're mud huts, grass roofs, no electricity, no water, no nothing. They basically just do animals and dig for roots. And there's over 1 million people. That's what their houses look like in the villages. Now that's their travel. This is my travel. You see, we've changed. It takes about 30 hours to get there. My favorite airline is KLM out of Amsterdam. It takes us to Nairobi. And then from Nairobi, we get on Mission Aviation Fellowship. It takes us up to northern Africa. And that is, let me go back. There's my wife, Jackie, my granddaughter, and the pilot, and I don't remember who that is, but there we are. We're headed out of Nairobi. And then we meet up with my old and dear friend, Benaya, his name is, and that's a vehicle that we bought, our ministry vehicle in the area that we've used for quite a while. And then we walk. I'm not walking so much anymore, though. That was in my younger days. And they have gone from camels to Chinese motorcycles. And our evangelists, we provide them with these motorcycles. They're Chinese because the parts are easy to find and they're cheap. And they fall apart easily. There's one of the ministry villages. That's kind of what they look like. So those guys on motorcycles are visiting these villages, and there is a ton of them all over. There's our ministry team that we built. My dear friends, all of these guys are Kenyans, and I'm the one in the purple shirt. Dear friends, this is an Ethiopian evangelistic team. So they go out in group evangelism into these unreached villages. In Kenya, they are mainly Islamic villages, but in Ethiopia, they're more demonic villages. So it's a demonic stronghold. So whatever we hear about demons and things in this country, it's not true there. It's a stronghold. There we are packing up to go. Mattresses. And that's what it looks like setting up in a village. That's one of those villages by Somalia. I recognize it. And then we set up the Jesus film. So this is a film about the life of Christ, and we show a backpack version of it, and it's got a projector about the size of a cell phone, and you can watch both sides of that screen, and it's the only movie in the village that night, so everybody comes. I rigged up one of those loudspeakers so everybody really hears everything. You have no idea how hard it is to get that loudspeaker through customs. That's a side story, yeah. So they sing and carry on late at night and then show the Jesus film. And the Jesus film is very powerful there, particularly when it comes to blood sacrifice, because these demon people are doing blood things all the time. And so they understand the blood sacrifice thing has been corrupted by the devil, and they do all sorts of things that I don't have time to explain. That's Benaya preaching in one of the villages. One of the significant villages that we went through. You got 5 more minutes? Invitation to Christ. These are gold miners. young men in their 20s coming to Christ. Open air preaching. This is the church they built in that gold mining village called Hilo. Then there came an old white man preaching on Romans 8. And this is their response. Now, I'm sort of expecting that from y'all today. Just a little different style of worship. Most of them, however, look like this, where they'll start out worshiping under a tree, still open-air preaching. By the way, I'm sure you thought that they would be preaching and dancing. They'll build a temporary worship facility. This is, again, in that same place, Botandero it is. That's by the Somalia border. And if you look around there carefully, you'll see an old man with a hat on. That's me. A church fellowship that welcomed us. This is kind of cool. A Muslim guy came to Christ, and he built that little church on his property. See the sticks and the cross? This is another demonic village. That woman there, she gave us her story about how she was a demon medium, and the village was all demonic, and now the village is all Christian. What a place. Garza Rahway. And that's their new church building. I know it doesn't look like much to us, but it's a big deal to them. They can fit 150 people into it. That happens to be Magado, but they all look the same. We have the same contractor building them. See, different place. Another demon village called Haralo. This is a church. One of their churches in a place called Adho. And I wanted
we
to play.
We praise God for we've just arrived at Adho. Adho is in Taltali region. We thank God for the safety on the highway, also for the ministry that is going on here.
Sunday
we
school
praise
room.
God for everything. Here is the old church. This is where they used to meet for worship service here in Adho. And this was not enough space for them. And it leaks during the rainy season. It really bothered them for quite some time. But we praise God because he has given us a new church at Adho. And this is the building. Praise God for this provision. We want to register our appreciation to everyone who has contributed to this wonderful project.
That's our border church where we hold pastoral training, so it's a little bit better facility, but it's in a town, not in a village, in Moyale. And then me and those other three guys created a curriculum, and we do it with these books, and there's six books, takes 2 years to get through it, and we have a village discipleship book, and then each one of these in their language, so it's their learning material, plus it's almost half the New Testament commentary that they can take to their village and teach. So that's the first graduating class. We rent the things in Nairobi and send them up to graduate. It's a big deal. That's our main church in Ethiopia. Though your start was small, your end will be very great. Can you imagine that, writing that on the church?
So much. Thank you so much, Pastor Arero. We just want to say that we really appreciate now the ministry here. For the ministry in Oga, this is a milestone. We have really gone far in having such a very nice place of worship, and we want to thank God for that. our prayers is that the Lord will bless all those who have taken part in this construction, and may the Lord bless you so much.
And that's my partner in ministry for 56 years now. Well, if we have the mind of Christ, we have a vested interest in the ends of the earth. And there's a lot of villages left. I went to 8 of them on this trip and dedicated some and had a vision for the next. And the ministry will continue long after I'm gone. So your part, to have a heart for this, will you? The mind of Christ. Pray, give, maybe even go. But I've tried to change your heart in 20 minutes, and I hope it's a start. Thank you.